Voices in Democracy, Engaging, Empowering, and Enhancing the Democratic Process is the theme for a program series on Where Do We Go From Here. Three university students from the Black Hills area joined the panel in February to share their experiences in civics education and participating in the democratic process. SDPB's Larry Rohr has this summary of the most recent town hall discussion.
The panelists included Hannah Newmiller, Cliff Plummer, and Brian Waugh, all graduates of Spearfish High School, where they participated in the We the People Project to learn more about government and the democratic process. With those interests and experiences, they offered their perspective on the political landscape. Plummer is now a student at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
I guess it's just kind of apathy that's been bred from the current political system. A lot of millennials and a lot of Gen Z kids, they don't think their vote counts. And when it comes to what the world's like if you vote and what the world's like if you don't vote, to them it's going to look the exact same. And you're asking folks to take time off of work or take time off of class to go and submit their ballot and actually participate in this democracy. And to them, I guess, just the return on what their vote is, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of an impact. They don't feel like they're being listened to.
Or they may not have enough information about issues and candidates, according to Newmiller, who's now a student at Black Hills State.
I think along with apathy, it's that students and younger people feel like they aren't educated about what the topics are, how their vote would impact it one way or the other, no matter which way they vote, and they don't know where to get that information and the accurate information for that.
But that can be self-inflicted, says Brian Waugh, who's also a student at School of Mines.
I'm willing to admit that I don't know nearly enough about local politics. I couldn't tell you the school board members, I couldn't tell you the council members at all. I mean, everything that's attractive in politics is the national level. You see the division, you see the impact that affects America as a whole, and it seems more attractive, it's more marketable than local politics.
Considering that all three have gone out of their way to participate in programs and to be more informed about the political system, Plummer thinks K-12 civics education is lacking.
In terms of just a general education in elementary school and high school, my personal belief is we don't receive as much as we should be receiving. The national government, we talk about the founding of America, and we don't really discuss the structure of local government. We don't register students to vote when they turn 18 in high school, and we don't try to get them more involved in the community. We see kind of a segregation between just K-12 life, the community life, and then campus life on universities. And I just feel like we're really trying to separate folks when you could be having a better discussion and a better educational program.
All three agreed and suggest the curriculum could cover a wider range of issues.
In South Dakota, you only have to have the one credit, and in Spearfish High School, most people take that their senior year. They have one, you know, 3-month-long class teaching them probably, you know, the history of government, but not necessarily cultivating that habit and expectation of being an involved citizen and an educated citizen throughout, you know, K-12 education. So when they graduate high school, they are prepared and already practicing that rather than just learning the history and structure of U.S. government in their, you know, last year of school while they're focusing on other things like what they're going to do with their life, where they're going to go to college, and that sort of thing. So I don't think that they have the best opportunity that could be provided for them.
I think what we focus on with civics right now is just transferring the information from the textbook just to students' minds. This is how a bill becomes a law. This is the structure of government. Mm-hmm. Not this is how you apply it to your life. These are the people you should be talking to in your community. This is why you should care about voting. This is how you can have a civil discourse about an issue to solve a problem. It's mostly just we have this curriculum. We have to check the boxes off the list. Let's get through it as quick as possible.
One thing I really want to expand on that you mentioned too was the idea of teaching how to have a decent civil discourse too, mm-hmm. because I think one thing right now, that's one of the saddest things about the state of politics is just that there's no decent civil discourse for the most part. Even at the national level, it's become just legislators and executives just name-calling each other instead of actually having a meaningful discussion about the issues and why we should or shouldn't do something. Instead, it just becomes, you have this letter beside your name, so therefore you're automatically wrong.
And the perception that political speak is more about who is right or wrong can take extra efforts to navigate when primary sources of information come from a world of digital and social media.
Me, it's mostly, I've set up my Facebook feed where it's a lot of like news organizations that I follow, but so yeah, I'd say that's the main way that I and a lot of people my age get information about politics.
And that doesn't mean that we just blindly believe any tweet we see.
Yes.
I know for a fact, if we see a story, we immediately try to follow up on it too. Mm-hmm. So if we see it on social media, then we kind of dive into that a bit more. If it's there, and if it's on the trending, if it's on the front page of Twitter, if it's on the front page of Reddit, then it's important.
To go off, true. One thing that you said, that, you know, if we see a headline that interests us, people will go and follow up on it. I'm not sure that, you know, people fact check everything because there's an abundance of fake news that people believe out there.
Yeah, I think most people don't fact check.
I agree.
Even it doesn't matter even what generation, my mom's generation don't fact check.
All three are in the habit of fact-checking materials from their experience in high school and collegiate debate. But specifically on the voting process, Plummer and Newmiller have perceptions and suggestions.
If you're going to chop down absentee ballot length from, 40 days to 21 days, you take polling places off of campus because it's too easy to vote now, and you expect us to continue to vote? I mean, I don't really understand. We just feel like our vote doesn't matter at that point. I understand the culture around that now is like, if you don't want us to vote and it looks like people don't want millennials to vote, Gen Z to vote anymore, then we're not going to. But at this point, I feel like out of spite, we might start voting a bit more.
Good. I think a way to make it easier though, I mean, having an app would be, I mean, the easiest way. We have our phones out literally all of the time. It's ridiculous. But another way for, the community at large, I know Oregon does this and a few other states as well, but mail-in voting. Make it so you don't have to go out and find a ballot. You don't have to order a ballot. But a ballot is given to you, already ready to mail back. You just circle your answer, put your name on it, and it's ready to go. Make it as easy as possible. Give them plenty of time to do it. It's delivered to them, and they just deliver it right back.
And all three had more ideas to reform the voting process to be more inclusive.
I mean, I think one of the easiest is to have polling places on campuses.
I think another thing, too, is students need to know their options for voting more, too, because I know one thing I've done the last two elections that I really enjoyed doing because it was easy to do it was early voting, because people need to know that's available. And then for students that are out of state, they need to understand the absentee process better, so that needs to be outline more as well, I think. So just better education on options for voting, I think, is a huge step in that direction.
If you want younger students to vote, just make a national holiday for Election Day. Everyone tries to make it look just a bit more difficult than it is. I mean, if 4th of July is a holiday, that's the foundation and the structure and the creation of our democracy. We should have a holiday to the continuation of our democracy.
Students Hannah Newmiller from Black Hills State and Cliff Plummer and Brian Waugh from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. The Voices in Democracy series will continue March 27th at noon Mountain Time from the SDPB Rapid City studio and visiting once again with freshman legislators after their first session in Pierre. For In the Moment, I'm Larry Rohr.
You can play the entire Where Do We Go From Here town hall discussion at sdpb.org/Where Do We Go.